Hello and welcome to the Virtual Cafe. I'm your host, Shagulola Salami. And who have I got in the cafe with me today?
Hey, Shagulola, this is Ron Chapman in Atlanta, Georgia. How are you?
I'm trying to say I'm fabulous, but I've got a cold. It's like this year has not been good. It's like the little human, we've been competing with each other on who can reinvent the other. I mean, a few weeks ago, my voice was completely gone. And, you know, I think it's my voice sounds better, but it's like literally this year has just been cold and flu and just losing my voice and whatnot. But other than that and lack of sleep, I'm perfect. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. The sun's out after a night of thunderstorms, and I'm happy to be here to tell you a little bit about what I'm up to in the world, which short story is I'm a transformational guy. I work with organizations, people, professionally, personally, spiritually. And so I've got a couple of practices where I do everything from consulting to coaching and a little bit of therapeutic work. I have a social work master's in social work. And last September, I was really privileged, Shagulola, to have two books and an audio set all released during the same month, which frankly was a little bit much. but I've been on tour across the U.S. since September, February, and talking about both books and the audio set and the underlying spiritual psychology, and really kind of having the time of my life other than being a little bit sleep deprived.
So when you say you're going on tour, you know, I kind of think like all those musicians that they have their large, you know, luxurious buses and you're going on tour. Is that a kind of tour you had?
Well, I didn't have a bus, although that might have been easier. I had a number of airplane flights and a number of driving trips. I was mostly doing bookstore events and a lot of workshops, mostly on transformational forgiveness. And some of that was specifically out of the audio set, but I also talked a lot about both fiction books because it was really relevant to a number of the topics that came up. So it was sort of wherever someone was willing to get me an audience, I was willing to go there.
Okay, you know what? This sounds interesting. You're at a cafe. You need to drink something. What would you like?
Well, I think I would like an extra large 5-shot latte, please.
You know, I just put my head down because it seems that every single time I have an American, you guys seem to have funky drinks. So what did you call it? An extra, what?
Extra large 5-shot latte.
What's a 5-shot latte? I'm embarrassed.
Well, that's when they put 2 or 3 extra shots of espresso in because when you're sleep deprived, you need the extra caffeine.
Ah, right. Okay. You know what I'm just going to do for you? Because this is, you know, I'm not even going to pretend that I know you. I mean, I don't drink coffee, so I guess that's probably why, because I'm more of a tea person. Well, not even tea. I'm more of a hot chocolate kind of girl. So I'm just going to give you coffee, black coffee, 2 sugars, no milk. How does that sound?
I accept the offer. Thank you.
Perfect. I've got a strawberry cake with chocolate frosting on top. How does that sound as a nice compliment?
Oh, perfect. Nice compliment to the coffee.
I've like dinner time. It's like, oh, can I have a chai tea? And I'm like, look, I only drink hot chocolate. I don't know all these fancy things that you guys are asking about. And I think I really need to get a proper assistant because the little human, she's a nursery now, so she's not even here to help with the orders. And I need to get someone who's really up and up with all these fancy drinks and stuff that goes on in a cafe. But anyway, be that as it may, before the show's over, the little human will be back and she can get your drinks for you. So I'm actually quite interested, though. So we'll come back, you know, about transformational what?
Yes. Well, transformational work pretty much across the board. I work with institutions and organizations to change their paradigm. I work with individuals professionally related to their career and their development, and I work with individuals who are stuck in their lives and trying to figure out how to get loose. And so I talk a lot about a Greek notion called metanoia, which is the transformation that takes place in our hearts, not in our heads, and that's the stuff that changes lives. I know.
It's very interesting. But is that, like, how does what you do differ to, say, a life coach?
I have a much stronger psychological background and underpinning. And so oftentimes, rather than just working through a career path problem or a workplace problem, we oftentimes end up looking at underlying life pattern problems.
Okay.
Oftentimes taking them, you know, honestly, people sometimes they come and they say, well, I just want to work on this one thing. And it's like, good luck. I mean, it's all related. You can't separate your relationship from your little human, from your relationship to anybody else, because you're one person, right?
Exactly. Okay. So then I'm just quite curious, though, you know, like how you've been doing your tour.
Yeah.
Did you find that expensive, or did you have a sponsor?
It was a mixture. In some cases, my hosts were paying for my transportation.
Oh.
In other cases, my hosts were guaranteeing enough at the door that I knew at least my costs would be covered. And in some cases, it was just, as a social worker, I like the idea of the sliding scale. And so if there's good work to be done and it's going to cost me, then I do that with some frequency because there's important work to be done in the world.
Yes. But, you know, it's quite interesting, you know, that you had hosts who could. How did you manage that? Because, you know, there are lots of authors out there, and especially when they're just starting out, and to get hosts to be interested enough to want to pay, you know, towards their transportation costs, or to sort of guarantee a minimum number of, I mean, I know it is possible, but, you know, most times people would struggle to get that. You know, how did you manage? What was it? How did you, you know, did you have to kill anybody and bury anybody?
Funny you should say that. My mentor sometimes when I'm stressed out will say, Ron, let me know if you're planning on body disposal, because that's not a good sign. So, it's actually, again, it's an interesting mix. In a lot of cases, what I needed to do was to use what I broadly would refer to as my allies, my ambassadors, my first best supporters, people who've been working with me for long periods of time and who are willing to go to churches, community organizations, pretty much anybody who's interested in transformational work. And they kind of open the door for me, and in many instances, they're able to make terms that work really well, and then at some point, they connect me with the people on the other end. I've also had an extraordinarily good, I'm supposed to call her my manager. Her name is Monique Inge, and I'm supposed to call her my manager, but, you know, the honest truth is she's my handler. She sends me notes and says, Ron, don't forget to do this. And by the way, how many books are you taking? And don't forget about that. And so she's, if for those of your listeners who may have happened to have seen Sex in the City, the movie, Sarah Jessica Parker had Jennifer Hudson as her handler.
Yeah.
And it's like they take care of anything and everything. And I'm so grateful to have Monique because she keeps me out of a lot of trouble.
I need a Monique in my life.
Yeah, you do.
I really do need a Monique. But I can't seem to find any in London or in the UK.
Well, you know, when I send you my information after this, a little bit more of what you need, I'll connect you to Monique. Maybe she can do it virtually.
Okay, I need a handler. This sounds really, it sounds very, what they call, very CSI, you know what? Here's my government handler.
I'm right with you. When I first figured out there were such people in the world, and it's more than just a virtual assistant. Here's the difference. This is like so interesting. There are people who can do what you ask them to do.
Yeah.
And then there are people like Monique who is able to tell me what needs to be done. So when I come to her and say, we've got whatever, an event, she will actually sit down, figure it out for me, and come back and tell me what I need to do to be prepared. So she's not dependent on me telling her what I need to do, because frankly, I don't know quite often. So she, and I keep telling her, she laughs. I say, well, you know, you're the boss of me. And she'll kind of chuckle and then she'll tell me what to do. So she really is the boss of me.
Oh, that sounds like you've got a very good relationship with her. Okay, so now tell me, interesting. Tell me about your books. How many books do you have? Is that three so far?
Well, I've got four books in print and two audio sets. And The first two books date back. My first book came out in 2004 called What a Wonderful World. And it was a secular collection. It's a workbook of secular ideas that prod people to think more deeply about things in their lives. And then in 2008, Ozark Mountain Publishing, who's my nonfiction publisher in Arkansas, U.S., they agreed to publish a spiritual set of contemplations in a workbook format called Seeing True, 90 Contemplations in 90 Days.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of all this, I had an epiphany, one of those moments. I'm 60 now, so this would have been when I was about, I don't know, early 50s. And I had a realization that there were two stories that I absolutely positively had to tell before this life was over. Mm. And one of those was called A Killer's Grace, which was published on my own press in 2012. Which is the story of the transformation of a situation with a serial killer based on a real life interaction I had with a serial killer.
Ooh.
Yeah, we can spend
some time. Serial killer?
As a matter of fact, yeah, it was a life changing experience because he helped me understand what happened inside of him. And by the time all was done and said, it opened up a well of empathy within me that has carried me forward to this day. And so he gave me permission to, as long as I never disclosed who he was, he gave me permission to use any of his written materials. And so I use a letter that he wrote as the fuel for this fictional transformation tale. And it did really well. I got some. One of my reviewers said it was a work of art, which I was really pleased about because the characters and the setting and the underlying philosophy. So that was book number three, and then I was sort of working on book number four, and I was doing a transformational workshop one day, and somebody came up and said, "I need a CD set of your breath work. I use breath work meditations as part of transformation." And I said, well, damn, I gotta get a CD together. So I got derailed for a little while to release an audio set called Breathing, Releasing, and Breaking Through. It's like a workshop in a box.
Yeah.
And Ozark Mountain was happy to put that out for me too. And then I came back around and I was getting ready to put a book called My Name is Wonder, which is the story of a goat on a spiritual quest with his spirit guide, a crow named Crack. Yeah, I know. It's a, you know, it's an adult and or teen allegory. And I was getting, I mean, I had it all prepared, had it pretty well laid out. And then the craziest thing happened. A publisher, Terra Nova, came across A Killer's Grace.
Yeah.
And from the 2012 edition, the first edition, and they said, this thing is really, really great. We would like to take it to market for you as a second edition. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And I happened to mention on the phone one day that I had another novel, and they said, well, let's do that one too. And so in 2016, they brought both A Killer's Grace second edition and My Name is Wonder to market at the same time. And in the middle of that, my nonfiction publisher, Ozark Mountain, decided they would use some audio material I had about psycho-spiritual transformation, and they would release another one of my audio sets called The Way of Spirit. And so all of a sudden, in March of last year, almost a year ago, I had both publishers ready to roll with two books and an audio set, and it's been a little bit crazy ever since.
I'm just amazed. A lot of people struggle to get a publisher. With two publishers. What exactly was it that you did? Are you sure you didn't bury anybody somewhere?
No. But credit where credit's due. A good friend of mine in New Mexico, where I used to live before I moved to Atlanta. A good friend of mine in New Mexico. The fiction publisher is in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of mine knew somebody and said, you know what, this guy has written this really exceptional book and you really need to take a look at it. Credit to the people who opened doors for us. It's a fool's game in the publishing world to think we can do it on our own. I mean, we need relationships and people who are willing to go to bat for us. And so she dropped it on him, and the editor read it, and then he had the publisher read it, and then they had their marketing person read it, and they decided it was in fact a really high quality product to bring to the marketplace. And so I would love to tell you that I magically figured out how to crack the publishing world, but Segulola, that would be a lie. I was like, that's just not true. It came to me.
Right. Okay. So when they contacted you, at least the one for Achilles Grace, do you mind sharing with us what they offered you? What was it that made you say yes?
What I was really happy about was the fact that they were offering me really good distribution.
Okay.
One of the challenges for anybody who publishes on their own label or anybody who goes down the so-called self-publishing route, one of the real challenges we run into is the distribution problem. And and so when they told me that they had a full-scale distribution, and then when they told me they would help me with a rewrite so that I could gussy it up even more, I was sold right there, because I didn't feel like, as much as I got great reviews and a moderate number of sales with the first release, I just didn't feel like it got the attention that was warranted. And so I was happy to have someone go to bat for it.
Yeah. So, no, great question, just so that I'm on the same page as you. The first edition, where did you distribute it through?
Oh, I went through Amazon as my primary outlet. And I used an outfit called Book Baby, who helped me get it into other distribution. And I mean, that was a good experience. I don't have any complaints. Yeah. I just know that it didn't have the traction in it that I was looking for.
Yeah. Okay. So yes. Okay. That's fine. Because again, there are a number of authors, that I've come across. You know, some people, they go via Smashwords. Some use Lulu, I think it's Lulu, and some use Draft to Digital, and all these places greater distribution, and then some people, they go on straight and they use Lightning Source. So that's why I was sort of concerned. I was trying to understand what you meant about distribution. So the publisher, where did they distribute you? Did they distribute it via Ingram Spark for you, or how did they go forward?
They handed it off to a distributor who put it into the Ingram network, and also did their magic thing and got it into the Barnes & Noble network. And as I understand it, the way the distribution system works is that, in addition to having those in, and let's see, what's the other one, Lord & Baker? That they are also in the mass distribution on. And so with their help, what I was able to do was, of course, get the saturation from Amazon and from Barnes & Noble. But more importantly, I was able, as a result of the distributor's access into the larger distributional network, to ensure that any bookstore anywhere could get their hands upon it. And then they also, I was really tickled. They came back and they said, we're really convinced that there's a European market for this. And so they have been shopping it around Germany for me to see if they can get me a European publisher or European distribution, I guess, to be exactly correct. So, they were, I guess, like I said before, I mean, there's just no substitute for having people who are willing to go to bat for us because they love what we do and they appreciate what we're up to.
Yes. Okay. So how was your marketing prior to them coming on board, and how did that differ when they came on board? What did they do over and above what you've done?
A couple of things. Now, they were very clear with me on the front end, and this is pretty common unless you happen to be a big name author that people are going to that a publisher is going to invest a substantial marketing effort for you. They were pretty honest with me on the front end that they said, one of the reasons they were taking me on was they knew that I already had an existing network, and they didn't represent themselves as being the marketer. They acknowledged that they would do a number of things for me, but that I really needed to be clear that it was on me. They'd get me into distribution. They'd do a number of things. They actually just last month did put it in the New York Review of Books, which I really appreciated. That's very, very extensive reach. So there's some things they've done. They hooked me up with their marketing company for mostly, well, there have been two pieces there. One has been, of course, social media presence. Then the, you know, blog tours, and we're working on interviews such as this one right now. And also trying to tap a couple of larger national outlets, which would really make all the difference in the world. And then the other thing that I did, this was all very serendipitous, is my daughter and son-in-law were just getting ready to start up their own marketing business, and they needed a signature client.
Yeah.
And so they have brought me a tremendous amount of youthful marketing savvy that I just didn't have, to be really honest. So they've helped me repackage my websites, because I have multiple websites. My blogging presence, my video presence, my YouTube channel, all those things they've helped me build so that I can get better reach for any of the things that I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds quite amazing. Okay, so yeah, so what is your one word of wisdom that you're going to share with everybody today?
Well, let's see. You want me to talk about it from the standpoint of a guy who managed to get a pretty cool publishing deal, or do you want me to talk about it from an author's point of view or a transformational guy? You get to pick.
You know what? Go for all three.
Okay. So the one, if for those of your listeners who are really looking to figure out how to get publishing traction, distribution traction, as much as many authors don't want to do that work, If you don't get somebody who can carry the water for you, it's going to be very hard. And you need allies. It's just absolutely vital. And if you're an author who's either mulling over your writing or not even wondering about publication or distribution yet, I would say that you need to be true and write to your heart. If there's one thing that's come clear to me, Segulola, is that when people talk with me in workshops or signings or whatever I'm doing, what they're looking for is authenticity and vulnerability.
Yeah.
And so if I'm not writing from my heart, I'm actually setting myself up to be unable to, quote unquote, close the deal with what it is I care so much about.
Yeah.
And then if I were to talk about this from the core of my work, which is transformational in nature, I would say to your listeners, and wherever this may go in this big wide world, if you're stuck, you need to stop looking for the solution and start looking for how it is you're stuck. And that's true. That's true about whether you're spiritually stuck, professionally stuck, relationally, romance stuck. One of the great, great secrets for more than 30 years practicing in this arena is if you can ever get a look at how you're stuck, you will find a solution. But most of us don't want to look at that stuff because it's not comfortable.
No, that's true, though, because if you don't know where you're stuck, then you're just pulling, you know, straws and you're not making progress.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so I was going to ask you something else now, which I've totally forgotten. And, you know, you can blame it on my cold. Hopefully my voice doesn't sound too bad today.
You sound great.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Let me see. I was going to ask you something else, but you know what? My cold brain, baby brain, they've all gone poofs now. Oh, yes. So which do you prefer, self-publishing or working with a publisher? I think I know what you're going to go for, but okay, let's just hear it.
Oh, that is such an interesting question, and I'm going to have to parse it just a little bit. I loved the process of running my own material through CreateSpace. And actually reviewing the design work. And, you know, there's this thing about, let's call it craft work, that a lot of us don't get a chance to do anymore, where, you know, you write the words, you create the manuscript, you get it bound, you get a cover. There's something just extraordinarily beautiful about holding that book in your hands and going, I did this from start to finish.
Exactly. I know, right?
It's just beautiful. But But, you know, the nice thing about having some really good professional support, both publishers and marketers and handlers and all of that is, and I think this is a blind spot for a lot of us, to be really honest, is there's a lot of stuff we don't know how to do.
Yeah.
And most of us are, I don't know, self-sufficient or self-accomplished enough that we think we can fumble our way through, and we'll either save some money or save some time or something. And if there's one big learning for me about having these professionals help, is they know how to do stuff that I don't know how to do, Segulova, and that has been so very helpful. I guess the craft person in me loves the self-published route, and the practical person who knows he needs help sure does appreciate all the expertise that's out there.
True. Were you offered anything? Because again, a lot of times when people think of publishers, they always think of this nice big check in the post that, oh yes, here's your royalties upfront. Is that a myth now? Does that still happen?
Well, you know, I guess, I mean, if you're already well known, you can probably get a big check. I just saw that Barack and Michelle Obama got something like $60 million
for
biographies. And you go, okay, that's a big number. And of course, if you really write something which is off the charts extraordinary, and I think the challenge, though, is that if you don't easily fit into a genre, it's very difficult to make a case for yourself. And so there's a conundrum in here. If you really be true to your own writing, if you're an author and you want to be true to your own writing, you're going to face the conundrum of writing true to your form, true to your heart, which is critical, I think. And if it doesn't happen to fit a genre, if they don't know what to do with you, you're going to have a marketing challenge. And so, well, sales challenge, really. And so, getting a little bit of help to help you shape your content and your pitch, if you will, so that you can also, with regard to a publisher or a distributor or anybody else, have something that is accessible to people so they know what to do with you.
Yeah.
That does make it a lot easier. I just have to say that I have stayed very true to my transformational work, and I still have challenges trying to get people to understand what I do and how these are all related, because they're all very, very dissimilar. Yeah. But that's a very conscious choice I've made that serves me well in terms of artistic integrity, if that's the right way to say it.
Yeah. Okay, fabulous. Well, it's been absolutely fantastic having you, in the virtual cafe and chatting with you. If people wanted to contact you or check out, your website or anything that you do, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, a couple of things they can do. If they want to know sort of the whole story on me, they can go to ronaldchapman.com. That's ronaldchapman.com. If they'd like to see a lot of my content, I've got a tremendous amount of free content out there at seeingtrue.com. So it kind of depends on what one of your listeners might want to look at, and information about me on the first, and a whole lot of interesting content about transformation in the second.
Okay, so ronaldchapman.com, then seeingtrue.com.
Seeingtrue.com, T-R-U-E.
Ah, yes. Right, true. Okay, and then are you on Twitter? What's your Twitter handle?
I am at seeing_true. SEEING_TRUE.
Right, perfect. Okay, well, it's been an absolute, what was I saying? Sorry, but I got distracted by colors. You know when your nose tickles you for a second and you say something, you're like, yeah, you're trying not to go, and I just did that. Oh, dear.
Well, you just need some good chamomile tea or something like that, I think.
Yes, what I did is to just stay in bed. The little human, she woke up at 4 o'clock. No, actually, I woke up at 4. I don't know if she buzzed me or whatever, but I didn't. I just woke up at 4 o'clock, turned on, because we co-sleep together.
Yeah.
4 o'clock, I don't know what it was that woke me up. I woke up, I took my phone from under the pillow, checked the time, and she was up. And I'm like, why are you up? And so I just turned her back, and I just pretended that I was going back to sleep. Then I think next thing again, I sort of felt bumps, and I woke up again, and she was there tapping me, and I'm like, what is it? And she goes, hungry. She's like, yes, we want to eat. I was like, okay, what do you want? And she goes, yogurt. Like, seriously, who wakes up at 5 o'clock and says, you eat, right?
How old is she?
She's two.
Oh, yeah. Well, good luck trying to get her to behave with anything on your schedule. I mean, it's just, she's going to have her way with you, said Yolola.
I know. So I was like, seriously. Okay, you know what? Right, let's go. And she almost had, I don't even know how much yogurt she had, but she had a lot of yogurt. And you would think she was starving that I don't feed her with the amount of food she had at 5 o'clock this morning. I was like, okay, right, can we go to bed now? And she decided, no, she was not going to bed now. And she wanted to play on her Kindle, right? She was wide awake. So I was like, you know what? Here is your Kindle. Play with it to your heart's content, right? But then the noise would be asleep, and then she would be tapping me, and she wanted me. I was like, sorry, please. And I'm turning over, and I'm turning over. And she was like, so the thing was there for like 3 hours. And I got to that point where I just took it, and I just flung it across the room because, you know, there was just so much I can listen to. To what was it that she was playing? Peppa Pig. Seriously, that Peppa Pig. Right? Seriously. Peppa Pig at 5 o'clock in the morning till 8 a.m.
Well, you know, she's just laying down the track so that someday when she demonstrates you're not the boss of her, that she's taught you how to behave appropriately. So she's already doing behavioral modification with you.
So yes, that's basically me. So we woke up, you know, I flung it away and I said to bed now. So we had to then sleep. I think we got like 3 hours sleep until 11. Then we woke up and I was like, okay, I will manage 3 hours sleep. That's not too bad. But yes, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. And I hope, you know, things go well for you for the future, and hopefully at some point oh yes, you're coming back again, aren't you?
I am. I'm gonna be back with you in a few months, and we're actually gonna talk about one or both books. You're going to get to choose.
Perfect. Well, I let you go, and I'm going to go and grab a drink and try to see if I can sort out my sore throat, and we will speak to you soon again. Thanks for coming.
Soon. I appreciate you.
All right, then. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.